Hi, I'm Kendra, and this is Stepping Off Now, a podcast for creative people who think outside of the outside of the box. If you're feeling stuck or burned out, confused about where you're headed, and like you don't know how to reach your full potential, this is your podcast. It's not the conventional life advice. I discuss topics like harnessing the intuitive creative process, using anti-productivity to enrich your life, and sorting through all the external pressures and expectations to figure out what you really want. My perspective is informed by my own experiences with burnout and recovery, and my struggles as a creative misfit, as well as my background in social science research. Whether you're struggling to find inspiration and direction, or are just feeling unfulfilled from day to day, my wish is that you'll find hope here. You can find more about me on my website, kendrapatterson.com, or visit the podcast website, steppingoffnow.com, for show notes. I'm also on Twitter, handle @PattersKendra, and Instagram, username steppingoffnow. So if you're ready for something different for yourself, and you're open to seeing things in a new way, come along with me. Let's do this. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Stepping Off Now podcast. This is Kendra. Happy New Year. I don't know about you, but I'm having trouble wrapping my head around the fact that it is 2022, or imminently, because I'm recording this on the last day of the year. It does kind of seem like 2020 and 2021 were sort of the same year. Does anyone else feel that way? I'm sure it has to do with the pandemic just kind of endlessly going on. But for me, 2021 in a way felt like an extension of 2020 because I started my creative business in 2020, and 2021 was supposed to be the year that I grew that business into an actual income of some kind, which didn't really happen. That being said, I want to be positive here. I am now making enough through my Patreon subscribers, thank you so much, and my coaching clients to say that I am making some money, more money than I was a year ago. So that is definitely progress, I feel, and something that I am encouraging myself to feel proud of, even though I didn't reach the nebulous goals or expectations that I had of what the year would bring to me. And that's what I want to talk about today. Of course, going into the new year, all of us tend to spend some time reflecting on the past year and forming hopes and expectations, possibly even goals and resolutions for the new year. And as you probably already know, I am very much against goal setting. I've done an episode on this. I did it early on in the life of this podcast, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. But the gist of it is that goal setting encourages us to be very outcome-oriented and to base our feelings of happiness, self-worth, and fulfillment on whether or not we achieve that goal. And this is quite obviously problematic because of the fact that a lot of times we don't achieve goals because of circumstances outside of our own control. But it's less obviously problematic in a more insidious way, in that often we tend to set goals that aren't actually going to make us feel the way we think they will. That's why there can so often be a feeling of hollowness to achievement when we realize that, sure, we got the thing that was our goal that we worked towards, and there's a certain kind of pleasure involved in that, but this hasn't really fulfilled us or made us feel happy in a sustained way, the way that we thought it would. Now, there are certain types of personalities who are very achievement-oriented, and that the simple act of achieving something is their happiness, and that's fine. But for many of us, whether or not we actually explicitly understand this, we are motivated almost primarily through intrinsic circumstances and factors. So while we're not immune to the pleasures of achievement and external rewards like recognition, that's never going to be any kind of source of sustained and fulfilling happiness for us. The problem is that we often think it will, because we live in a culture that presents to us this idea that achievement and recognition and consumption is how to obtain happiness. And it's very difficult to consciously live outside of that paradigm, because you're constantly struggling against the inertia of cultural socialization and against the constant indoctrination process that culture has, the weight of that every single day, anytime we're interacting with the outside world within a cultural context. The culture is exerting its force on us. So today I'm going to talk about a couple things that are going to help us understand how we can figure out a new way of entering the new year that's not based on any kind of goals or resolutions or even intentions. It's based rather on the concept of personal empowerment, stepping into yourself or coming home to yourself and coming to an understanding, a deep understanding of your true desires and also your capacity to realize them. This personal empowerment. That's what I want for all of us going into this new year, is a feeling of hope that we can obtain that feeling of personal empowerment and use it to start manifesting lives that do feel like they're our best lives. And when I use the term manifesting, I don't mean it in the sense of visualizing and that will manifest things, you know. I mean it in the sense of actually doing things that manifest circumstances in your life that are conducive to your personal fulfillment, satisfaction, and happiness. So let's begin with a discussion of mimetic desire, because this is the source of the separation from ourselves that we all experience to some extent living as part of a wider culture and society. And I mean that in a very general sense. So the wider culture and society could refer to your own family. It could refer more broadly to your national culture or your ethnic culture, whatever it is. Mimetic desire is a part of a theory that was developed by an anthropologist named René Girard. And what mimetic desire is a desire that you have that's based on some kind of model outside of yourself. This model is another person or people, and you see them desiring things or obtaining things, and you desire those same things because they do or they have them. This is a mimetic desire, and this is a totally normal part of being human. It's how we form culture. And culture, of course, is a framework that contributes to survival because it contributes to group cohesiveness, which can help us with our physical survival, but also emotional and psychological. Now, the theory that René Girard developed was that mimetic desire inevitably leads to conflict among people, because if everyone wants all the same thing, and that is a scarce resource, they're going to come into conflict over that. So how does the group, the community, deal with this type of circumstance? They find a scapegoat, someone that they can blame for this conflictual situation, the scarcity of the resources, and then they forcibly eject the scapegoat from the community or murder the scapegoat. And in so doing, because they've created this enemy, they've reestablished the group cohesiveness. So you can see this happening in all cultures where they're going through periods of turmoil. For example, in the United States, the conspiracy theories that have developed over the last 5 years or so are an example of this type of scapegoating. So why is this important? Because ultimately, our concern is our individual status, right? Well, it's important because when we base our desires on this mimetic principle, and then we discover that the things that we thought we wanted, the big house or the high status job or a certain amount of money, when we find that those things don't actually bring us the fulfillment and joy that, or the happiness that our culture basically promises us will occur through the obtainment of these things, we engage in a kind of internal scapegoating ourselves. We tend to see the problem as external to ourselves. So we project our dissatisfaction onto people or things that are external to ourselves as the source of our unhappiness. So, for example, job doesn't make us happy. It's the fault of the job, or it's the fault of our a-hole boss. For example, marriage isn't making us happy. It's the fault of our partner, or it's the fault of the institution of marriage, or it's our own fault for somehow not being able to fit into these societal structures and institutions, which is a way of externalizing what you see as your own deficiencies. And maybe some of those things are true, but the problem is that none of those scapegoats are going to lead you down a path of personal empowerment. Because even if there's something of a truth in them, they're still displacing responsibility for your happiness onto things that you don't have control over. And this is a natural outcome of having desires that are mimetic, because mimetic desires in and of themselves come from outside of yourself. They're located externally to yourself. Okay, so we understand the theory behind mimetic desires. And you're probably thinking that at this point, I'm going to talk about how we figure out what we really want. Well, I have actually done an episode on that, and rather recently. So I'm not going to revisit that topic exactly. I will put a link in the show notes to that episode, because I want to very specifically focus in on the idea of personal empowerment and how we can go into the new year with hope that that is something that we can foster in our own lives. I want us to be able to peel away the layers of our mimetic desires and really be able to focus down onto the very simple, sustainable truths about what brings us joy and a sense of contentment and satisfaction with life on a daily basis. The last thing I want to do is give you something else to clutter up your brain going into the new year. What I want to do is to help you feel a sense of calm and hope going into the new year, and that you can develop that sense of personal empowerment in your life, that you have the capabilities to meet your own desires and create a life that does feel like it's your best life. And doing that requires not only an understanding of what actually truly does make you happy, but a belief in your own abilities to create those circumstances in your life. And it's that latter part that can often be so difficult, because even when you understand what it is you really want out of life, in most cases, realizing those desires is going to put you at odds with your surrounding culture in one way or another. Now, I'm sure there are people whose true desires align perfectly with what culture says we should want, but most of us, that's probably not the case. And for people who are creative types, it's even less so that that's the case. But even with this, I'm not going to clutter your brain with any kind of directives or tips of things you have to do in order to feel more confident about fulfilling your own desires or anything like that. Instead, I'm going to give you a type of visualization, because ultimately what it comes down to is taking possession of your own desires. Not just recognizing them, but taking possession of them and taking responsibility for fulfilling them yourself. And that's really a feeling that you have to foster in yourself. It's a type of confidence that develops over time as you increasingly include in your life the things that do fulfill you and eliminate from your life the things that don't. And it can help to have a kind of mental image that you can refer back to whenever you start to feel that scapegoating occurring, where It could be, you know, anger arises at the unfairness, the injustice of society, or you're on Instagram and you start feeling jealous of the people who seem to just have their shit together, seem to have whatever it is that you feel you want. Whatever it is, anytime you start to externalize in that way, you're giving away your power. And so this visualization will help you bring it back into yourself, but in a positive way. This visualization is based on a Japanese mythological creature called Kitsune. Kitsune is a fox, or usually appears in the guise of a fox. And Kitsune is, I guess you could say, a bit of a mild trickster type of character. She's usually considered to be female, or energetically female, and she has the capacity to grant your desires. So she's a magical character. But in order to get her to grant you your desires, you have to steal her Hoshi no Tama. Hoshi no Tama, translated, means something like star ball. And it is this glowing, pearl-like object that is in possession of the Kitsune. If you steal this from her, you steal her power. And she will grant you your wishes in order to get back her Hoshi no Tama. I want you to visualize that you are in possession of your own Hoshi no Tama, this glowing pearl inside your chest that is the source of your power. It's the source of your clarity about who you are, about what you want in this precious one life that you have to live. And it's the source of your own confidence and capacity to create your best life for yourself, and it's the source of your belief that you have a right to do that. It's this warm, glowing pearl inside. So whenever you start to feel that you're giving away your power, visualize your Hoshi no Tama and understand that ultimately nobody can actually steal that from you, but you can give it away. But if you do, then you're stuck in the situation of the Kitsune, who is endlessly trying to grant the wishes of the person in possession of her Hoshi no Tama in hopes that she can get it back again. So going into the new year, I hope that your Hoshi no Tama burns bright and warm and brings you comfort when life feels out of control, or when you have moments of hopelessness that you've lost your way, and when life isn't giving you what you need or what you desire, truly desire in your heart. Remember that your Hoshi no Tama is there to protect it and to honor it, and to understand that it's yours and you have a right to it. You have a right to live a life that feels good to you on a day-to-day basis. You have a right to feel happy and to do the things that make you happy, just as anyone else does, even if, and especially if, those things conflict with what you're told you're supposed to want, what you're told you're supposed to do, what society tells us is the right way. I'm excited to see what 2022 brings, and I hope that you are too. I think that we have a lot to look forward to.